There's been a lot of talk about expectation lately. Expectation of what we should be able to do. People are expecting quite a bit. Clear eyes, full hearts, cameras.
Colorado blocks the punt. It's a scoop and a score for CU.
McCaffrey takes a snap, fires it across the middle, and it is caught! A touchdown for USC, Jaron Mitchell.
This game is not over. This battle is not over. So let's hear it one more time.
Your eyes, full heart.
Let's go!
There it is, Football Friday. Here we go. It's ready to rock and roll. 6 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, all things football as we go forward. We're trying to move past this Broncos-Browns thing. We've got our eyes on Twitter. We've got our eyes on our Broncos insiders here to see, you know, if there was anything to Vic Fangio moving his press conference over to 3 o'clock rather than 2, and I guess it was scheduled for 11, then to 2, then to 3. So far, nothing new, and I don't see significant changes happening. I don't. And I'm not saying I don't want that to happen. I just don't see it. We are in a weird time. Is this year, maybe even the last couple of years, maybe even the Vic Fangio years, because the ownership discussions have been up in the air for several years now. How will this be remembered? I know, Angel, your background, I mean, you've been up in the Colorado area for a few years, but your background's not that deep into the Broncos. So we're going to get you there, though. We're going to get you there.
I will say I watched the Broncos a lot when Peyton Manning was here, that 2013 season. Yeah. I watched all those games, the record-setting touchdown year. So I was into the Broncos up until Peyton left.
So that was obviously remembered as, you know, some of the greatest times in Broncos history. I mean, you're going to go to, obviously, the two Super Bowls that they won back-to-back. That's the greatest time. Winning a Super Bowl is what it's about if you do it back-to-back. That's the golden age of Broncos football. The Peyton Manning era, that stretch, the John Elway new beginnings, like, that's not going to be, maybe you don't say golden era, but damn sure close.
Silver.
Silverish. Yeah. Yeah. If not a tint of gold in there, maybe silver with some gold that got in there somehow.
Well, remember from the 50th year, all the 50s were gold. So
yes.
That's where that gold comes
That's
from.
Exactly right. So some of that gold got in there. So there's gold to it. You remember the Vance Joseph era? You probably meld the two together.
Yeah. It was kind of around, I stopped around when Brock Osweiler couldn't figure out where he was going or what he was going to do.
You've seen the series, heard of it, series of unfortunate events. I mean, from the way they handled Brock Osweiler is where it all began. That's where this whole thing began. You can connect Brock Osweiler all the way down to this stuff. All the way down. So Brock Osweiler, they wanted him. But Elway didn't want him that badly. You know, Brock, I guess, somewhat felt slighted and was ready to figure something out. Gary Kubiak wanted him to be the guy, had sent him text messages that you're going to be the guy, it's your time. Elway didn't move fast enough. Brock was offered the contract with Houston. He was told by his agent to not pick up the phone when John Elway calls. And he did not pick up the phone. He said he regrets it to this day, but either way, that's where we are. So that move, it's like the butterfly effect. That move changed everything. If Brock Osweiler stays, does Gary Kubiak stay?
No. Do you draft Paxton Lynch?
Probably not.
Do you get Trevor Siemian?
Yeah, you don't do any of that stuff.
Drew Locke's not even a question.
Drew Locke's not even a real person at that point. He's even born at that stage. If
butterfly effect is something.
No, it changes everything. And from that point on, Gary had a 9-7 year, and we went, that was bad. That was those Broncos fans. I'm one of them. That was in the world still of, we know what greatness is. John Elway, Mike Shanahan, Shannon Sharpe, Terrell Davis, Peyton Manning, even Jake Plummer had a stretch there where they were going to the playoffs. We know a thing or two about playoffs. and greatness. So if you're going to put a product that's 9-7 on the field, that's pathetic, even with replacing Peyton Manning. Even though that should have been the full-on expectation. Because your contracts didn't work out. You didn't have a good chunk of that defense that was so elite. I think it was Justin Simmons' second year or first year, one of them. But we looked at that and said, that's unacceptable. 9-7. And then Gary goes. Vance Joseph enters. 5-11. Next year, 6-10. He's not the guy. But you know what? We don't want to completely change out the nameplate. Let's find another guy with a V. Vic. Yeah, it'll work. 2019, 7-9. Ho! One game better than Vance. At least we've made improvement. 2020, 5-11. This is what you've dealt with since Gary Kubiak. And again, you missed the playoffs that year, too. You missed the playoffs, Gary Kubiak's year, and you've missed them the last four. So 5 years in a row, and you're about to hit six if something doesn't change quickly. Vic Fangio is 15-24 as the Broncos head coach. Vance Joseph was 11-21. Josh McDaniels was 11-17. Whole show, the Power to Play Sports poll question is available at thewholeshow.com. At this point, who was the worst coach? You know, Sunday we're talking about Mike Shanahan being honored and enshrined and being put in the Ring of Fame, rightfully so. Should be a Hall of Famer. There's no question that he's the greatest coach the Broncos have ever had. No question. Two Super Bowls and so many other things after that. A lot of playoff appearances, even without John Elway. Well, a couple anyway. I think they went, what, four or five times? You know, he had Brian Greasy lead him. Jake Plummer's crew made it 3 years in a row. They lost to the Colts twice in a row. You remember that? And got smoked. And then they lost in the AFC Championship game to Pittsburgh. So Shanahan's the greatest coach. There's no debate for the Broncos. The real debate is who is the worst. And Vic Fangio's in that mix now. Josh McDaniels, Vance Joseph, or Vic Fangio. And 43% of the Hooligans are still saying Josh McDaniels. 37% say Vance Joseph. And 18% say Vic Fangio. Man, and you're going, you just think Vance Joseph was awful, which he was.
Yes, when I had stopped watching the Broncos a lot, I just noticed that they were playing really bad.
Yeah.
From where I had seen them a few years ago to where they were with Joseph. And the stuff like, oh, we had a good practice. Like, every single day was a good practice, and you lost every game, almost.
So, what is it going to take for Vic to get to that status?
I'm done with him.
Like, what does he get to that status of Vance? Like, to be the worst coach.
I think if they don't win another game throughout the year,
yeah.
If they keep him on longer than two more weeks, and they don't win another game.
I tell you, it seems far-fetched. Do you feel like they're beating Washington at home? I mean, maybe, but it's not a gimme. Washington's defense has been a little bit better this year.
And you'd have to think that home field advantage won't be there. Unfortunately.
Not like it used to be.
No.
I mean, I'm serious, and I say this, and some Broncos fans are really mad at that. But when I say that, it's also because I'm watching the game the other night. I think it was against the Raiders. Yeah. And they were cheering during the offense. When the Broncos were out on offense, you had people cheering. So when you say, hey, the home field advantage isn't as strong, yeah, Manning had that team, that fan base trained, just like he did in Indy. They are quiet. You could hear a pin drop in that stadium when Manning was on offense. They forgot all that now. Because it was loud against the Raiders a few times.
And it's never a good look to see on your broadcast fans leaving in the middle of the third quarter.
No.
That's never good.
Never good. So you got Washington. You're at Dallas. Dallas, I mean, they could be a contender this year. You're home against the Eagles. They're about like Washington to me at this stage. You still have two Chargers games. You still have two Chiefs games. You got a Raiders game in there. Lions and Bengals. I don't know, man. I mean, if you're being really optimistic, then you're saying they beat Washington, they beat Eagles, they beat Lions, they beat Bengals. So there's four, so they end up winning seven games.
Maybe they steal one of those division games. Maybe they beat the Raiders. So if you really want to be optimistic and say on paper they're right there even, but if you're watching the game last night, it's hard for me to pick them to win a game. Now, things change as we get closer to the next game and we put that away, but based on what we've seen right now, it is really difficult. Really difficult to pick this team to win many games. Question now is, what do you do? Do they make some changes? Pat Shurmur is not the guy. That is blatantly obvious at this point. I don't understand the play calling. I don't understand talking about having a commitment to the run and not running. I don't understand paying Melvin Gordon as one of the top highest paid running backs in the league and giving him 8 carries. And that's the norm now with him.
Well, they had said on the broadcast, like right when the game started, that they rotate the running backs like every series. How is that effective?
Don't know.
With Javonte is clearly the better running back. He doesn't need 30, 40 carries, but he's shown he can move the ball.
Well, and the whole idea of rotating a series, like you get to give a guy 3 or 4 carries and maybe he needs a break and then you bring another guy. Like that, to me, that just locks you into stuff.
Yeah, and you know, you want your fresh legs whenever you can, and you want to rotate them out, but every series, that just, you don't give either guy a chance to get hot.
No. Well, if you're carrying it 4 times, you're not learning tendencies of defenses. You're not seeing breakdowns in defenses. You're not scanning the field. I know this is a silly comparison, but Derrick Henry is the best running back maybe ever. But he also gets better as the game goes on for 2 reasons. He's a bruiser. He wears people out. But he also sees things differently. If you run the ball this many times, I get to see how quick, you know, film's different. I get to see how fast this D tackle gets off. I got to see, you know, what the tendencies are with those linebackers. How they're tackling. I mean, those are all real things. You get a feel for the game. It's just like a quarterback getting the feel for how a defense plays them, what they're going to leave open, where those soft spots are going to be in the zone. With the running back, it's very similar. You know, is my left guard having his way with this guy? Or is he struggling a bit so I know I kind of need to compensate and, you know, not trust him as much? All those things are part of running the football. And I love watching a team that runs the ball. Like, that's my favorite thing. I do not need to see you. Teddy Bridgewater actually is, on paper, a kind of guy I would like. It's just, you know my theory on the Drew Lock thing. Know what you got. This is, you are in that stage, Broncos country. Like it or not, you are in this stage of know what you got. You're 3-4. I don't see a lot of wins. Know what you got next year. Give George Payton everything he possibly can get in order to evaluate this team going forward. Holyoke, don't think all this Broncos negativity is fair to McManus. He's perfect on the air. He's our best player right now. Let's go, Brandon. Wait, I thought that was a bad thing. Let's go, Brandon. That's true. I mean, you're Brandon McManus. He's like the best kicker in the league. I'm one of them. Justin Tucker. He's right there, though. Problem is you don't get in field goal range often enough for Brandon to do anything. It is tough when you have those nuggets of positivities. You just can't focus on them. You got Javonte Williams, Patrick Surtain, Brandon McManus. Am I missing anybody? Noah Fant?
You got your offense, defense, special teams right there.
There you go. You got three guys to build around. Like, seriously, this whole thing, look at all these one-year contracts. Dixon brought it up in one of his texts earlier. This team is not. This was a fill it up, don't get embarrassed year. Sign these contracts because we have in the budget. If something crazy happens, great. Vic, good job. But let's just not get embarrassed and lose ticket sponsors or ticket sales. See if we can just keep this thing full. That's what this is. And you're 3-4. At the end of the day, it's, you know, if this would have gone, if the Browns beat Denver last night by 3 and Baker's in that game, that right there makes the difference. Or Chubb or Hunt. It's like, okay, the Browns are, because the Browns, we all projected them to be a playoff team. So, you know, I said it last week. I said, all right, you can lose to the Browns. You can't lose to the Raiders. Then the Browns game turned into being a tougher loss than the Raiders. Because the Raiders still have Derek Carr. And they still had some of their weapons. The Browns, Case Keenum, some guy named Ernest, or De'Ernest. Denver's making people famous, man. Keep it up. Take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk more about Colorado State and Utah State tonight. That game is going to be fun. It's a big one for the Rams. Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. They're now on a Greeley campus, too. They're located on 16th Street in the Greeley Medical Clinic on the third floor. Fully open and ready to take care of you and your family. Check out their website, orthohealth.com. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Football Friday continues.
Northern Colorado's voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Big one tonight. Colorado State and Utah State going at it for... Well, I mean, kind of the top of the Mountain West Mountain standings. This will be big. This will be interesting because, again, you have Air Force that's playing San Diego State this weekend, so that's going to have a lot of impact as far as Mountain West competition. But this is a really big one. Before we get into that, let me tell you about one of our excellent sponsors, Norfolk Iron and Metal. And we know there's no secret that the hiring market is competitive, crazy. Norfolk Iron and Metal, like many others, are looking for members to join their team. Visit their website, norfolkiron.com, or you can call their Greeley location at 970-352-6722 to find out why your next job should be at Norfolk Iron and Metal. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. And if you want to go answer our Power to Play Sports poll question available at theholeshow.com, who's the worst coach at this point? Is it for the Broncos, Vic Fangio, Vance Joseph, or Josh McDaniels? I'm going Victor all the way. Like I said, Vance, I was done, but I was still like, all right, he's terrible, but what's the next step? I was ready, but this guy, I'm ready. This is 3 years. Vance got two. Josh got barely, he didn't get two. He didn't get a finish. And then Vic's on year number three. Will he finish year number three? Colorado State's had a hell of a turnaround. You know, defensively, it's been awesome talking about this defensive line. We get Scott Patchen on the show on Mondays for the Scott Patchen Show, which we're going to be out at Crazy Carl's Pizza next Monday. I won't be in the studio, Angel, but you won't be here anyway. So it doesn't matter. Never mind. Scratch that. But I will be out at Crazy Carl's Pizza for a remote. We're building up for the Boise State game. Huge home game for CSU. But first things first, they got to find a way to take care of Utah State this weekend or tonight. And I'm so ready for that. I'm pumped for the Nuggets, dude. I don't miss Nuggets games. I have DirecTV, unlike some of you, you know, lesser people.
Fancy guy over here.
I'm fancy. Well, I got lucky. That's the one we went with years ago, and we've stuck with it. You got Comcast or?
I don't have any
TV you don't.
Provider.
So you have to illegally find it.
Find a website or two. No, there's a game on.
People were. I remember tweeting about the Nuggets too, because it was all, at first it was all three networks, right? It was all three, and I was tweeting about a game, and some guy's like, "How are you watching it?" I'm like, "I'm not. I'm just pretending that I'm watching it. Don't say anything." But you got Nuggets tonight, so I'm excited for that. But going back and forth between CSU, Utah State, and Nuggets. Spurs, great little Friday night, man. I've been staying up way late watching these games. I stayed up till 12:30 watching San Jose State, UNLV. UNLV's 0-6, and I had more fun, now 0-7. I had more fun watching UNLV than I did watching the Broncos-Browns game last night. Because UNLV had, there was something there. They were up a little bit. They were moving the ball. It was entertaining. I like the Mountain West, too. I'm into it. Tonight, Todd Senteo, can he keep rolling? I mean, he's been a nice key for Colorado State overall. And he's been getting, and we're talking a lot about the defense and this turnaround and just how good can CSU be? Can they get into a bowl game? They're sitting at three wins. I don't think it's that far-fetched to see if this team can, you know, win a couple more games, win tonight against Utah State. Boise State's not certainly not the team that they used to be. So there's opportunities here, but this one's really, really intriguing. Utah State is a tough one for me to figure out. You know, are they the team that, well, has done what no other team has been able to do is beat Air Force? They beat Air Force 49-45, and Air Force has been beaten up on everybody else before and since. They start out the gate 3-0. Remind you of anyone? They beat Washington State 26-23, Pac-12. They beat University of North Dakota, a good FCS team, 48-24. And then they came out, third game, beat Air Force, 49-45. Since then, they've gone 2-1. They lost to Boise State, but they didn't just lose to Boise State. They got smoked, 27-3. BYU, they lose 34-20. It was a close game, closer than even that score says, but they did lose. And then UNLV gave Utah State just about everything they can handle. UNLV, I feel bad for them. They're 0-7 now, and it doesn't feel like they're that bad. Okay, got it. They got a freshman quarterback. He's quick. I like him. The last 4 weeks now, I feel like they almost beat Fresno State. They almost beat Utah State. They almost beat San Jose State. Something's got to give for them. I feel bad for them. So has Utah State gotten worse since the Air Force game? The win-loss column would lead us to believe that. Logan Bonner, talented quarterback. He has thrown for 1,500 yards, 11 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Has a really good rating, 139. Here's the scary part. They can air it out. Talking about it on our college football kickoff show last night with the Coloradoans, Kevin Lytle and Chris Abshire. It's all things Rams and Mountain West. And our biggest fears, I think we all kind of agreed, is we haven't seen a team yet really be able to take advantage of CSU's not-so-great secondary. You've seen breaks. You've seen cracks. Iowa got a couple of deep balls on CSU. San Jose State got a couple of deep balls, but not enough to really expose the weakest portion of CSU's defense. So my concern going in is, you know, you look at their receivers, you know, Devin Tompkins, 50 receptions, 819 yards, 6 touchdowns. That guy's a load. Brandon Bowling can get the job done. He has 400 yards receiving and 3 touchdowns. Derek Wright, 20 receptions and 300 yards and 2 touchdowns. So they have 3 receivers that are pretty darn solid. And Justin McGriff's not bad either. He's been coming on. So if you're picking this game, if you're looking at this game tonight, and you're concerned, though, that's where your concern lies, is how well can this Rams secondary play against this receiving core for Utah State and a pretty salty quarterback in Logan Bonner. That'll be the big concern there. Should be fun on TV. The other side of things, your guys, UNC Bears, Angel, they're going to get off the snide here and get a win against Southern Utah. The Bears are the worst in the Big Sky in passing yards. Southern Utah is the worst defending the pass. Something's got to give.
Jerry Schimmel sounded pretty optimistic this morning.
Jerry Schimmel is by nature an extremely optimistic guy.
Sure.
Yes. If you want the real story in those games, just listen to the game for Jerry.
Oh, I always listen to it.
He's so good.
I pull it up on the TV, but I'm listening to the game.
Yes. Yes. You have to.
And the pregame show.
Yeah. Get the PDC pregame show, PDC Energy pregame show here on KFKA tomorrow. What time is that game tomorrow?
It gets 6 o'clock.
So 6 o'clock
pre-game
game?
At 5.
Pregame at 5 o'clock.
Go Bears.
Yeah, go Bears. Go Bears. Yes. I think this is going to be a very interesting weekend, kind of, you know, for the Bears, they're just trying to salvage something. They got, what, 4 games left? This is a winnable game for them. But you really need to see Dylan McCaffrey. Like, that's where the pressure is. Is it Dylan McCaffrey? Is the play calling's not working? Well, it's his dad calling the plays. I go back to the Dave Baldwin situation. He was the offensive coordinator the night before spring ball, and then suddenly he's gone. I never got the full story. I don't know, but my brain likes to go to places like, okay, he was going to call the plays. He didn't. Now it's Coach McCaffrey. Was there a dispute about perhaps who's going to be calling plays?
Well, I think Max just threw it away, so.
Yeah, that's right.
Threw away his playbook.
Threw away his, he doesn't have it. All those plays are on that clipboard somewhere.
Sorry, bro. Sorry, little bro. I threw the clipboard away. Don't have the plays anymore.
Well, and it was weird when we did the press conference, you know, asking Coach McCaffrey about who's calling the plays, and he's like, "Yeah, well, we're kind of a mix, but you know, I'll be calling the plays primarily." Max is offensive coordinator. I always wonder in football, like, who, if you're the offensive coordinator, but the head coach is calling the plays, what would you say you do here? Like, that's what I always go to.
Well, it's different. Like, the NFL, they can talk directly to the QB.
Right.
College, you see a lot of hand signals, big old signs and stuff. So it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But you need to see Dylan turn this thing around. No question about it. On the other side, you know, you look at the Buffs. They get their win last week, and they win easily over Arizona. Everything went right. Punt returns, fumbles, punt blocks, interceptions. Brendan Lewis was rolling. It was a perfect game. You know, I always go, a game like that, save some of that for next week.
Ralphie looked good, too.
Ralphie's looking stronger. She's rolling, man. I mean,
she's getting comfortable out there.
She's getting comfortable. The Buffs on the road, though, so against Cal. Cal's 1-5. The Buffs are 2-4. Can they turn something around in their season? We'll have picks coming up. And one of my picks is already done. I picked the Broncos last night, so 0-1 to start. I am 12. I was 14-12. In local picks, now 14-13, we're looking to rebound and have a big weekend locally. 36 minutes after the hour, let's get back to the Broncos. More Broncos-Browns aftermath as we continue on Football Friday. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
No Limit Collectibles. And we got some exciting news coming up about No Limit Collectibles. I can't share it just yet, but you know, right now they got their location in Loveland. Buy, sell, trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. You know, signing, getting that memorabilia signed or whatever, jerseys, footballs, basketballs. They have so many unique items there. Full of Jordans in there, too. I mean, man, the list goes on and on. If you're a card collector, they have a lot of different sports cards. And then, yes, different from the sports world. But you've got the Pokemon thing. I mean, people collect it. It's big. I talked to Ken Yamada, the owner, and he's like, yeah, dude, this is a big deal. So they've got the hookup there. Collectibles at No Limit Collectibles. Tell them we sent you here. From the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. 888-530-0043. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Well, between these three guys, who's been the worst head coach for the Broncos, Vic Fangio, Vance Joseph, or Josh McDaniels? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. Well, so far, no breaking news about Fangio going forward or anything like that. Just got this from Mike Kliss as far as Broncos news earlier. Defensive tackle Mike Purcell suffered a significant finger injury last night per source, waiting MRI results to determine whether he would need surgery. It just continue. I mean, the injuries just continue. It has just been an absolutely rough go since those first 3 weeks. So much optimism before the season began, wanting to see Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler and Von Miller revived and all this stuff. Teddy, excited for what he might be able to bring to this table. 3 weeks later, injury after injury after injury, and bad coaching decision and mistake and bad throw, bad running game, bad defense. Specifically last night, that defense was at its all-time low this season. So odds are, guys, this is where you're going. You're staying the course. Are we going to keep taking it? Broncos fans are going to keep taking it? Yeah. There's only 1,000 people that didn't go to the game on Sunday. I mean, of 76,000 or whatever that it holds, only 1,000 skipped out. Maybe they were just still tailgating. Maybe they never went in with their ticket. So you're not going to lose. I mean, like I said, I saw somebody post about the Rockies saying, hey, you know, why don't the Rockies get the same treatment as the Broncos? You know, the Broncos are bad, and we all freak out about it, rightfully so, but we still cover them religiously. We still go to those games. The Rockies, not even in the same realm, man. I mean, 5 playoff seasons since you were born?
Well, that, and they play like 100-something games.
It's not the same excitement.
If they're bad, they're going to be bad for a couple weeks. They might win a couple, but with the NFL, you only have 17 games.
Yeah. So even if it's bad, it's still... You in the NFL, even the worst teams in the league, you're 0-7, you're 0-6, you're still kind of like, well, we could win one game, get something positive.
Any given Sunday.
Any given Sunday. Look at all these close games that happen. Look at the spreads in football. They're never like much more than 10. So you look at that situation, and it's obvious. And plus, the Broncos have a history. Like, don't take away the rich history of the Broncos. Don't take that away because the recent history has been abysmal. You can't do that. When does the recent history, though, start to take over? Yeah, years. You got to have years of bad football. And I don't see an end in sight right now.
No, the organization needs a complete restart.
That's where you are
now. Not even rebuild. It's start everything over.
Which is tough. Like I said, when Mike Shanahan was hired, was that 94, 95? Hire was 8, 7. So my whole life, as I grew into becoming more and more of a sports fan, was Shanahan and expecting playoffs, expecting winning seasons. This is a tough stretch for Broncos fans that have grown up, especially in the Shanahan era. That's been a very difficult time. But you're now at this spot in Denver Broncos history, the forgotten years, where a revamp is needed. I haven't seen an overall commitment to a revamp. Never. I mean, when Gary Kubiak was hired, it was, yeah, let's build on the defense we have and let's get Peyton Manning to continue to finish the job with Peyton Manning. When Vance was hired, it was, hey, we were 9-7 last year. So, you know, new coach, Gary didn't want to do it anywhere. We might be able to pick up where we left off, at least around the 9-7 mark. And then with Vic, you still had your Von Millers and Justin Simmons and some of the players you thought would work. But this is where you are, folks. You're in a rebuilding process at some point very, very soon. 47 minutes after the hour. Picks are coming up next. I'm going to give you 4 picks. I'll give you CSU, Utah State, CU at Cal, UNC at Southern Utah, and San Diego State Air Force. Also give you my 2 at-large picks. I give you 1 college game and 1 NFL game. I'm sitting at 6-8 on that, so I got to get over 500. We got to get to 500 this weekend. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There we go, Angel. The picks segment. Everybody looks forward to this each and every week. My local picks. And can we see some greatness this weekend from the teams that we cover, the teams that the Hooligans love so much throughout Northern Colorado? Let's do it, Angel. First things first. All right. Yeah, I lost last night. That's all right. It's okay. It happens. To the Broncos, it happens more often than we'd care to admit. Tonight, CSU. Utah State. Didn't get this game last year. There was some other stuff outside of COVID that took place for Utah State, so we didn't have that game. The Rams are 2-0 in the conference. looking to remain on top of the Mountain West Mountain. Can they do it? They're minus three. I like the CSU Rams to win, and I like them to cover minus three. See you at Cal. The Buffs get a desperately needed win for them against Arizona last week. They're going to Cal. They are 8.5-point dogs. I don't like the Buffs to win. I do like the Buffs to cover 8.5. UNC at Southern Utah. The Bears have the worst passing offense in the Big Sky. Southern Utah has the worst passing defense. I think this is the weekend Dylan McCaffrey gets it right. I like the Bears to win against Southern Utah. Denver at Cleveland, we got that. That was a loss. San Diego State and Air Force. This was a tough one for me, man. This was a tough one. Air Force is a 3-point favorite. I like the Aztecs to win this game. And that will set up huge things for the Colorado State Rams. And, man, what do you think? Think we're gonna have a good week, Angel?
Regardless, it's going to be a lot of fun sports to watch.
We'll see if I can start out the right way on the college side of things with CSU at Utah State. I posted my picks on Twitter. I'll post them on our Facebook page as well. So make sure you follow me at Whole Show or search Whole Show on Facebook as well. That's going to do it for us. Angel, fantastic week. Be careful going down to Denver. See if the Nuggets can get that win over San Antonio. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.